Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 89, the stanzas 1-4. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear, and what follows, Psalter 89, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Joshua 7, the verses 6 through 26. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joshua 7, beginning with verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had be content and dwelt on the other side Jordan, O Lord. What shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. And neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh as shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take as shall come up by households, and the household which the Lord shall take as shall come in by men. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Miss Miranda Vandenberg, she was taken to the hospital early this morning hour, but was privileged to return to her home. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, that it has pleased thee for the second time on this holy day of rest, that the doors of thy sanctuary have been opened. Thou hast granted opportunity for us and our children to enter through those doors. And then by renewal, then we attempt with our unclean lips to approach unto thee and to beg of thee for an indispensable, so necessary, and yet a blessing that is all sinned away, but, O Lord, thou hast promised in thy holy word that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and to that end, may that promise be fulfilled in a special way. Wilt thou remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Oh, do visit us with thy salvation. Deal not according as we deserve, because if thou would do so, then thou would have to pass us by. That day already is far spent. Then we have been carried upon the wings of mercy. We have received many precious gifts from thee. And then we may still have the truth of thy holy word. And then it is so necessary that by thy Spirit, that truth may make us free. To that end, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Thou also knowest in this evening how that each boy and girl, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly have come up. May there have been those hungering and thirsting for righteousness with a sigh and with a cry, to receive a token and a word from thee. Lord, wilt thou lead thy children further, and do remember the unconverted, yet so many, for their own account. May that become an unbearable burden. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, that in these solemn and serious times, that there may be a rich ingathering among young and old. Wilt thou bless thy word in the church, help the consistory to that end on the Sabbath day and also during the week. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers with the weighty task of instructing their children and that aforesaid doctrine. Wilt thou bless our Christian school. Remember all those that may labor therein, and wilt thou grant traveling mercies from day to day. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school, and do remember and help the students. Wilt thou uphold the persecuted church, where there were so many on this Sabbath day that could not gather freely, but that have gathered with fear and trembling. Undoubtedly many arrested and put in prison. Wilt thou remember all them, with their family circles. May they be given to look upon the King, who has declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth," and also concerning the enemies of the church, the persecutors. They can do no more than thou permitteth. and wilt thou convert those persecutors, that thy name may be glorified. Take the veil from the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants, the team, and if it may be according to thy will, that thou may incline the heart to become a church worker, Lord. Remember the nations of the earth, and remember also our nation that sinks more and more away under the hardening of the heart. Remember all those in high authority. Wilt thou remember our province? Oh, wilt thou grant that there may be more a bowing of the knees, asking for thy way and for thy will, and more an opening of thy holy word. Wilt thou so remember the governments of the cities, also of our town? Wilt thou be mindful of our community? May it please thee to pour out thy spirit upon our community and upon the churches. We remember all the afflicted ones. A daughter that was admitted early this morning hour with great pain, taken to the hospital as she may return to her home with pain medication, oh Lord, then we commend her unto thee with all the difficulties of the body. Grant her a place at thy footstool where she may tell thee everything, and that thou may grant strength and courage from day to day. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the father with the dreaded disease. Wilt thou surround the sick with thy care and with thy compassion, where strengthening and healing is needed. Wilt thou graciously grant it. Wilt thou remember all our mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Remember our elderly ones. In the evening of their life, remember Bethesda. Remember all the residents, with those that may lovingly care for them. Wilt thou remember the family circles? May love abound. May thy word have a special place, Lord, in these evil and dark times. Wilt thou keep us and our children from the many temptations that surround us? And then Satan only has a short time. May we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Wilt thou now graciously grant thy help in this hour? We are so dependent upon thee in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit to that end, and graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. Oh, Lord, grant then a good and a special hour in thy house. May it be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. And then we have to confess, and no rights, we have sinned everything away, but, oh, Lord, with thee there is abundant mercy. Thy loving kindness is great. May we be given to seek thee in thy righteousness while it can yet and while it may yet. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 335. the three stanzas, deceit and falsehood I abhor, but love thy law, thy truth revealed. My steadfast hope is in thy word. Thou art my refuge and my shield, and what follows, Psalter 335, the three stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31, the question and answers 83, 84, and 85. Question 83, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Answer thus. When according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God, for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. Lord's Day number 31 speaks of the keys to open and close the kingdom of heaven. Three thoughts. First, the character of these keys. Secondly, the key of the preaching of the gospel. And thirdly, the key of Christian discipline. The keys to open and close the kingdom of heaven. The character of these keys, the key of the preaching of the gospel, and the key of Christian discipline. Thus first, the character of these keys. Beloved congregation, in the last Lord's Day, then we have heard precious matters concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then question and answer 81, that speaks of the coming to the table of the Lord's Supper. And now concerning the heart, that is an open book before the Lord. But what lives in our heart, that shall be manifested by the fruits in our life. Then in question 82, then it speaks of the admittance. Are they also to be admitted to the supper, who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? And then the answer, no. For by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. And so we come to Lord's Day number 31, concerning the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But then it is important to remember, when the instructors have spoken of the profaning of the covenant of God and the wrath kindled against the people, then there are more reasons than when the Lord's Supper, when a watch is not maintained. We have read together out of Joshua 7. The Lord has given a glorious victory to the children of Israel, that the walls of Jericho have fallen down, with a strict command that everyone and everything must be destroyed, but the gold and the silver, the iron and the brass, that must come in the treasury of the Lord. And now there was an Achan. What did he forget, boys and girls? That although perhaps no one was looking, that the Lord has all-seeing eyes. They go to and fro throughout the whole earth, and they have also beheld what an Achan has done. When he has seen that garment from Babylon and those 200 shekels of silver and that golden wedge of 50 shekels, that he has taken it and hidden it in his tent. And now the wrath of the Lord has come upon the children of Israel. Thus, congregation, concerning that wrath, that does not concern infirmities of the flesh, that does not concern the condition of his people, although when the inner chambers are so empty and when there is not a close life with God's word, then the Lord's frown shall be experienced in the midst of such a people. But now concerning the wrath of God, then in the first place it concerns that people under the external administration of the covenant. In the second place, it concerns and the honor of God and his institutions. And now concerning the children of Israel, then we know what has taken place, that Joshua has sent some spies to look at that city of Ai, that was not so far from Jericho. It was a little city to that end. They have sent 3,000 soldiers, and 36 of them were slain. And then we have heard that Joshua and the elders of Israel, that they have come in a need. They have come in a great need. And Joshua was given to ask the Lord, what wilt thou do with my great name? What shalt thou do with thy great name? And then the Lord has told Joshua that there was an accursed one in the camp because of what Achan has done, that the wrath of the Lord has come upon that people. And to that end, the Lord did not go up with that army when they have went to conquer that little city. And then we have heard it out of Joshua 7, that the lot was cast, and that the Lord, that he has said that Achan, we have heard his wife, his sons, his daughters, his sheep, everything that belonged to Achan first, they were stoned and they were burnt with fire. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? What do we mean by the kingdom of heaven? Then we can speak of different matters in the first place. That is the work of grace. By the Holy Spirit in the light in the heart of a child of God. In the second place, then the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Then we may speak of the external manifestation of the Church of Jesus Christ here upon the earth, and concerning the fullness of that kingdom that is in heaven. Concerning keys, then our boys and girls, they know what a key is. Then your father and mother, they have a key for the door of the house, of course. In our day, there is much electronic, but boys and girls, you understand the key. That is to open and close a door. That is to keep out everything what may not come in a city or in a house. And concerning the Church of Jesus Christ, then there are so many enemies that seek to enter the church to destroy it. Then in the former Lord's day, then there was spoken of confession, thus false doctrine, but also an ungodly life, thus the necessity to keep out what may not enter in and to protect what is in the house. But now concerning this Lord's day, when we are speaking of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, then we think of a door to let in and to keep out. We read in different places of such a door. The ark which Noah has built had a door that the sons and daughters of Adam, they were pointed to that door. They were called to enter through that door. That when the Lord would send his judgments to rain upon the earth, they would be safe. And then we read those solemn words that after Noah and his family has entered into the ark, that the Lord shut him in. Think of the parable in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish virgins concerning that door. Then I read in John 10 that Christ has declared that I am the door, that is the door of the gate of justice. And now these keys of the kingdom of heaven, then they are given to declare that there is a way to be saved. When we read Genesis 3 verse 24, then I do not read of a door, but then I read of cherubims that held a sword that turned every way, and that concerns the justice of God. Thus congregation also in this Lord's Day, because Lord's Day number 31, that still belongs, that is the last door, that is the last Lord's Day, that belongs to the part of deliverance. And the last Lord's Day of the part of deliverance, Lord's Day 25 through 31, then they speak of the means of grace, and that is the preaching of the gospel, and that is the administration of the sacraments. But then in these Lord's Days, then there is also spoken of the three marks of the true Christian church: the pure preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments according to God's word, and also Christian discipline. And now it is pleased many times in the days of old, then when there was an owner of a castle or of a large building, then he has given that key to a very important man, that he would take care of that door to lock and unlock it in his absence until he would return. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he has ascended into heaven until he shall come again to appear upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. And now he has entrusted the keys of the kingdom of heaven to his church, to the office bearers that are chosen by the congregation. And then concerning these keys, then concerning the preaching of the word, the prophetical office that points to the ministers of the word, and the key of Christian discipline that points to the kingly office. Those are the elders, not the one excluding the other. Thus these keys given to the consistory. We read in Matthew 16 verse 19, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Our second thought, the key of the preaching of the gospel. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. Then our instructors, when they are asking the question about that key, then they are first speaking of the opening and then the shutting of the kingdom of heaven. because through our defallen Adam, then we have shut that door. Thus, in question 84, there is a great wonder declared for us and our children, where in our covenant head Adam, that we have ruined everything, that we have closed the gate to heaven. And now in this evening hour, concerning the key of the preaching of the Holy Gospel, then there is spoken of an opening, young and old. Have we ever learned of a shut and a closed door? Have we ever learned that through our sins, that we are excluded, that we have made a breach so great? Have we ever learned of the gate of the Lord's justice? Oh, concerning that gate, do we not read in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14 of that straight gate? That gate is so straight, so narrow, that nothing of self can go with it. We can only enter that gate as a poor, as a naked, as a stripped, as a lost sinner. On the other hand, congregation, then we may say that that gate is so wide that even the chiefest and the biggest sinner can enter therein. Thus, when according to the command of Christ that has been commanded in Matthew 28, verse 19, and Mark 16, the verses 15 and 16, that the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached to all creatures, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer. And when the instructor speaks of the preaching of the gospel, then it includes the means of grace. That is personally, that is in the family circle. John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they testify of me. Thus, when we read concerning the means of grace, then also concerning the key of the preaching of the Holy Gospel, then it is implied the diligent use thereof, and accompanied with much prayer to the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit, that it may be used for our eternal welfare. It is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer. Then the instructors speak that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, by renewal, the instructors use that word true, because there is also faith that is not the saving work of the Holy Spirit. But the instructors, they do not speak whether it is weak or strong faith. They are given to speak of all and every believer. And now concerning the promise of the gospel, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious gospel. Ah, then that people, they have so much to unlearn. They have to learn that by the works of the law, that they can never be saved. As we have heard out of Lord's Day number 24, that our works that they cannot be a part or a whole of our salvation, because our best works, they are polluted before a holy and a just God. But now for a people that have learned, they have tried it by their works, but a people that is stripped of all, and the Lord is free, the one quicker, the other more gradual, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. As I read in John 16, verse 14, to make room for that precious Savior. And then the instructors, by renewal, then they are given to extol that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. Then concerning that people, then it is so necessary that the life of that people, that it may be declared as we find it written in the holy word of God, because that people have different encampments. What an examples we have out of the Bible, Jacob, a Bethel and a Peniel. The children of Israel, they were led out of the house of bondage through the wilderness before they entered the promised land. When we consider the disciples, when they have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be led from step to step, thus a word for seeking souls, a word for those souls that have so many riddles, that have perplexities, where it seems that everything is going so contrary to what they have expected, that they hope to become, go from strength to strength, and become holier and holier. But also concerning the knowledge of the dear Son of God, then by renewal do you hear a congregation. Then the instructors, they do not let souls rest with the knowledge of their misery and of their lost condition, all which shall be experienced, because if we do not experience those matters, the one deeper than another, what must we do with Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins? But the instructors, by renewal, then they are given to stress that there may be no rest outside of a knowledge of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers, a few lines further, then we read the term unconverted. But first, to all unbelievers. What is an unbeliever? That is one that does not believe everything that is written in God's word. That is one that only has an historical knowledge, not to minimize it, necessary, a blessing, but too short to appear before the Lord. An unbeliever is one where God has never become really real in their lives. We speak of theoretical atheists, ones that profess it with their mouth, but congregation, unbelievers, then we can be a practical atheist. And how is that now, congregation? How do we now live? That is a good question. How do we live from day to day? Do we live that there is truly a God with all his glorious majesty, that he sees everything, has everything in his hand, that he is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and it is written in God's word, only a step between us and death. We are commanded to hasten for our life's sake, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Has it all become reality in our life? Or, and testify to all unbelievers, also the unbelievers can be a great difference. There are those that become bold in sin, as a Pharaoh. There are others that have yet a more tender heart, a tender conscience. That is a great blessing, not saving, but a great blessing. Others, they are like that rich young ruler that has come to Jesus, Master, what must they do to inherit eternal life? And when Christ has mentioned the second table of the law, all these things have I kept from my youth. Go and sell everything. Then we could speak unbelievers. They are also temporal believers, those that are seeking so busy to gather the riches of the world. Thus a great difference. But unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that is necessary. John the Baptist in Matthew 3 verse 2 and Christ in Matthew 4 verse 17 has begun, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thus, the necessity to sincerely repent, the necessity, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Thus, then it still declares that there is time, congregation, time to repent and turn to the Lord and to knock at the gate of heaven, that it may be opened for poor and needy sinners. But such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted. Do you hear, congregation, that the instructors, they are speaking with a heart of love, and that they may still point to that door where sinners may gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Because after they have spoken of unbelievers, then first, as such as do not sincerely repent, and now secondly, as so long as they are unconverted, and then according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Thus the key of the preaching of the gospel that opens to believers, to those who have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, those who have learned that they cannot save themselves, then there is a pointing to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, a crucified Savior, whereby the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Thus, concerning the keys, then the instructors, They are first given to speak of the opening and then of the shutting. Let us first sing. A Psalter 84, the stanzas 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. And what follows, Psalter 84, the 2 stanzas. The keys to open and close the kingdom of heaven. The character of these keys, the key of the preaching of the gospel, and thirdly, the key of Christian discipline. When we consider the key of Christian discipline, then we must never understand that that is a key to punish, but that is a key as medicine to heal, to bring the sinner to repentance. John Calvin, he has stated 3 special purposes concerning the key of Christian discipline. In the first place, for God's glory. because when in the church there errs an ungodly life, dishonest business practices, you can multiply it out, can be in so many different ways, then the name of the Lord is blasphemed. In the second place, to bring the sinner to repentance, a turning from his evil ways. And the third reason, that is for the welfare of the congregation, to safeguard the faithful members from rotten members. When we consider the key of Christian discipline, then we must also understand that it involves every member of the congregation. The instructors have stated thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices, two matters, doctrines that are an error and ungodly practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life. Where does that admonishing now begin, congregation? That begins with each member of the congregation. When we know and are given to see these matters that we have just mentioned, then we must not bring it on the streets of Ascalon and Gospel. If we have love for our neighbor, then that shall not take place. But then we shall have a desire to go and speak to such a one, not to stand above him, no, but in love and compassion, and accompanied with prayer, that we try to tell such a one how wrong he is, how sinful, and that it grieves you. How many in this life would be prevented from going further with evil practices if that was more practiced? Of course, not always so easy. And there can be situations that it is impossible to speak to such a guilty one. Only think of the awful sin of incest. May that not be found amongst us. Thus brotherly admonish oftentimes. But if the sinner will not renounce and the sinner will not turn, that we take one or two with us, and that we go together and by renewal try to lay it out before him how wrong, how sinful, how God is honoring, and that such a one can never expect the blessing of the Lord, but that the Lord in his justice, the Lord is long-suffering, but that the Lord does not overlook sin. Clearly declared in Matthew 15, the verses 15, 16, and 17. But when the sinner refuses to repent, And now we are talking about secret sins that are only known to one or a very few. But then it is our duty, as the instructors have stated, our complaint to the church or to those who are thereunto appointed by the church. And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments. When it is told to the church, then that sin becomes more public, and then the consistory is called upon to visit such a one and to tell such a one how wrong and how sinful their course is, with asking that they may be given to repent not only once, but oftentimes. Then there can also be circumstances, because the instructors are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments. Then there can be a time that such a one is put under silent censure. That means that they may not partake of the administration of the sacraments, and that the men may not attend the male members' meeting. And now for such a sinner, when they refuse to repent, and the solemnity of these matters in the back of the Psalter, there is spoken of the three steps of excommunication, and what a weighty matter it is. Then the first step of censure, that is, when the sin of the sinner is mentioned in the midst of the congregation, and when there is asked that there may be much prayer in the midst of the congregation, that the sinner may be given to repent of his evil and erroneous ways. That admonition must continue to warn the sinner that he may depart from his evil ways. But if that admonition is despised and not hearkened to, then it is the second step of Christian discipline, and that is when in the midst of the congregation that the name of the sinner is also mentioned, and the congregation is asked to pray for him or her. Then those admonitions must continue. And now concerning the second step, then the consistory, they must first ask the permission of the classes when there is a broader assembly, that they may consider that matter. Thus, the second step, that is only with the permission of the classes. And when the sinner does not repent from their evil ways, then the third step, and that is the announcement. You can read of those announcements in the back of the Psalter, that if the sinner does not repent, that on a certain Lord's day, that sinner shall be excommunicated from the midst of the congregation. Many a times, as such a member withdraws himself from the congregation, and then they are excommunicating themselves. But now concerning that key, and not only spoken of the shedding of the kingdom of heaven, but there is also an opening, and to that end, in the back of the Psalter, there is also spoken of a readmitting back into the midst of the church upon repentance and upon confession. Thus, what a solemn thing it is to be excommunicated from the church. Different examples in the Bible. How necessary that God's holy word may have a large place in the midst of the family circles. Thus saith the Lord, how necessary that there is unceasing prayer for us and our children in a time of so many temptations, and where Satan only has a short time. How necessary to pray that the Lord may keep, that he may guide us in all our ways. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 5. Oh, when we read that psalm, then we read of the psalmist of such a close, a tender life, with an eye upon God's glory. Then the psalmist has exclaimed, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for another Sabbath day. Wilt thou bless thy holy word? Wilt thou be the after preacher? Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, a people with a close and a tender life, that they are given to say, Lord, is it I? Am I the Achan that thou holdest thy hand so still? We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home, at work, on the way, and at school? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, above from an unprepared death? Grant a prayer for one another, and where the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered on the coming Lord's Day. Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember those parents? Wilt thou grant a week of preparation, as searching thy holy word, and a begging of thee, that thou may make it a special and an unforgettable baptism? Ah, that thou may do for those little ones what is signified therein. Wilt thou gather the congregation together in this week for a weekday service, a grand desire, and wilt thou grant opportunity? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Thou wast crowned today with thy goodness. Wilt thou watch over us during the night watches? Help the mothers with the little children. Remember the sick. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 2, the five stanzas. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet, He who will not stand with sinners, he who shuns the scorner's seat, and what follows, Psalter 2, the 5 stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.